Okay, so hopefully this is recording. Welcome everybody to Make 2016 Your Best Year Ever. I want to give a shout out to our leaders, our classroom facilitators, Judy Maxim, Anne-Marie Garvin, Linda Harris. Their job is to be in the Facebook group every day. You know, if you have a question, if you, you know, engage in conversation and get everybody talking about the topic at hand. Okay. So they're going to be tuning in each day as I'm teaching and, you know, just, you know, jotting down things that strike them as interesting and just trying to get some dialogue going and even, hey, holding people accountable. Hey, you know, Tom, yesterday you said you were going to do this. How'd that go? And really just facilitating conversation and trying as best they can to keep everybody on topic. Sometimes it's like herding cats. You know, we do ask, and I mentioned this, don't bring in a lot of outside, don't bring in any outside material. Your own original stuff is fine. Like if you've taken a picture of your whiteboard or how you're setting up your own office, pictures like from how you're engaging with the material is great. But don't go to someone else's website and bring in their article or their video or their audio, because then there's no way to stop that. You know, where do you end that? You know, keep it about this class and how you're engaging with this class. Hope that makes sense. Our shepherdess, a lot of you have already met. That's Tina Croft. She's the one who gathers the lost sheep. So if you can't find the Facebook group and you can't find the website and you can't find the go-to webinar and you're lost and you feel like you're completely disengaged from what's going on, she is our shepherdess who goes out and gathers the lost sheep. It's a really big job. She's working really hard. Great lady. Thank you. We have our prayer team. We have our amazing Joanne. I tell you right now, Joanne Ball and Dolores Wells have major access to the throne room. These are two of the women that, you know, when I need to hear from the Lord, and, you know, of course, I'm pressing in for myself. We don't want to lean on somebody else. But these are two ladies that I really respect and honor as having direct access to the throne and hearing God with great accuracy. And they pay a price. They pay a price in their own life to have that kind of access, because, you know, the gift of God, the grace of God, is all free. But the anointing, I don't care what anybody says, it comes at a price. It really does. You know, we can debate that later. And my beautiful daughter, doesn't she look like Snow White? Really? And so I'm excited. This is the very first time my daughter has been involved in one of our classes. So, you know, cheer her on. She's going to be putting some prayers in for you, and I think you're going to be blessed. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. No way, no way I could do this without these incredible people. So, so thankful for them. And I think this jumped. No, it didn't. Okay, I wanted to share this testimony. This is from Joyce Heiser. And she was in our classes for like at least a year. She was in a couple different classes. And I think she's in her 70s. And she didn't do Facebook. She didn't like Facebook. Didn't want to be part of Facebook. And finally, after, you know, a few classes of just calling in and, you know, doing the materials on her own, she joined Facebook. Now, she's like the queen of Facebook. She actually has her own Facebook group that she runs for writers. And she put up this prayer yesterday, and I had to share this with you. My 2016 prayer for each of you. Father, thank you for each person in my Facebook community. This is the lady who was like, I'm not joining Facebook. No, I'm not saying you have to join Facebook. Liz, I love you. God loves you. We all love you. You can do whatever makes you happy. So I don't want you to feel like, oh, Donna won't love me anymore. I just want to give you a testimony of somebody. If that's where you're at, you're like, oh, I don't know, Donna. That Facebook, that Mark Zuckerberg, he's freaky. I don't know. They're like listening to everything I'm doing. I don't want it. Okay, which is fine. If you don't want to do it, I love you anyway. Okay? But I wanted to share this testimony because maybe it's going to encourage somebody. You know each one and why they are part of my merry little band. Please bless and meet each need this coming year for each one and their families. You know what will be coming into their lives. I ask that you go before and prepare them and then walk with and guide them through whatever. Thank you for being such a loving father, always taking care of us, even when we're unaware of how you're working behind the scenes. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. But I just thought it was really cool that here's a woman writing a prayer for all her Facebook peeps. And, you know, she was basically a shut-in because she's very sensitive. She has real strong perfume allergies and stuff like that. And she really found community and connection through Facebook. So I want to share that as testimony. Maybe that'll spur somebody on. The key verse today, and as we look back at what's gone before, just stand on this. Genesis 50:20. This, of course, is Joseph after his brother sold him into slavery and somebody falsely accused him of rape and he was thrown in prison and held there for 13 years for a crime he didn't commit. I don't know what you've been through. This kid went through a lot and he was only 30 years old. He was 30 years old when he finally got out of prison. That's pretty brutal. But here's the verse. You intended to harm me. So, the devil tried to hurt you. The devil tried to kill you. People in your life, your ex-husband, your ex-wife. All these people, your former boss, the person who wrote up a subprime mortgage for you. Maybe they did intend to harm you. Maybe did. A lot of times people hurt people unintentionally. But, there's some crazy people out there and they intentionally hurt you. Nevertheless, okay, maybe you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And that needs to be the perspective that we bring into 2016. This is a new slate. It's a brand new day. Whatever happened in the past, whatever people did to us in the past, we're just going to believe by faith that God's going to work it all out for good. It's all good. It's all good because God can work it together for good. I really want to camp out on this in a huge way, and I talked about this on the webinar, but why we'll always find a way. Why we'll always find a way. If you don't get so, I'm going to give you a lot of methodology, and this is really an effective program that I've put together for you, but latch onto your why. And we did this on the webinar, and I would encourage some of you, listen to that thing over and over again, because it was really anointing. Why? Does this need to be your best year ever? Why do you need to make the changes that you said you needed to make? How is it going to affect you? How is it going to affect your family? How is it going to affect your community? How is it going to affect your church? How is it going to affect the kingdom of God? Why? Why do you now have to absolutely, positively make this change? Why is this your comeback year? Why do you now have to come back to God, come back to his presence, come back to basics, whatever he's calling you to come back to your dreams, come back to your desires, come back to living for by his principles, come back to sanity and let go of all the madness. And that's one of the things I need to do. I just, goodbye politics, bye-bye, you know what? Goodbye all the doom and gloom and the sky is falling, you know what? Bye-bye. I just need to be in the presence of God. Okay? But what is your why? Because if you can latch onto it and say, you know what, I have got to do this, and this is why, that has so much energy and power to propel you forward. And feel free to share that. What is your why? And just a few key points. Again, all this is recapping the course workbook, because I know from doing this for years, a lot of you will never crack open the course workbook. So I just want to run through it and maybe expound on some of this. Results don't lie. They don't. Results don't lie. You should write those three words down. Maybe put them at the top of your whiteboard. I know you all went out and bought a whiteboard. You have to buy a whiteboard. I love my whiteboard. I love my whiteboard, and I'm going to show you my whiteboard. Okay. Results don't lie. Whatever results you're getting in your life, that's what you're committed to right now. For some reason. Because results don't lie. The greatest management principle in the world is this: behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. So your results are evidence of what you're rewarding. It's just that simple. You have the results that you have in your life right now because of the behavior that you're rewarding. And we dug into this in the webinar, and we'll do more with it. See, our thoughts and our words can deceive us. We can tell ourselves, oh yes, I'm going to do this. But what we actually do tells the tale. You know how many people, I think I had 105 shares on that. This will be my best year ever. This will be my best year ever. Results don't lie. Yeah, see, we'll find out on New Year's Eve 2016 how many people really meant that and really believed it. Our results don't lie. Results reveal our true intentions, even if they're not our best intentions. So your best intention might be to lose 60 pounds, but your true intention might be to comfort yourself with all your favorite comfort foods anytime someone hurts your feelings. And as we've already explored, that your brain figures that out in a hurry. Wait, I love this food. How do I get this food? oh, all I have to do is get my feelings hurt and I can have ice cream. All I have to do is take an offense and I get to, you know, watch, you know, an entire year's worth of Dancing with the Stars on Hulu. Great. The next person I meet, no matter what they say or do, I'm going to make sure I take offense and get my feelings hurt so that I can get my favorite treat. I'm telling you, this is how it works. Results don't lie. So look at your results in any area of your life. What results are you getting physically? What results are you getting financially? And try to figure out, what's my real intention? Why am I not doing what I say I want to do? Because there's a reason. And if you can solve the mystery and figure out why? Why is that pattern repeating? If you can figure out the why, you're halfway home. A lot of times our lives are governed by our worst intentions, not our best intentions. Again, comfort, cope, and escape. And controlling other people is huge. We can control other people with our problems. Problems are huge. So you might say your stated goal is to lose weight and launch a business and launch a ministry and do all these other things, but your problems are your way of getting attention. Your problems are your way of being significant. The fact that you're 50 pounds overweight, that's your way of being significant. Look at me, I've got this significant problem. I'm 50 pounds overweight. I'm 100 pounds overweight. This is a really big, significant problem. I mean, to have a significant problem like this, I must be really significant. And everybody needs to, like, pay attention to this. And I could talk about it all the time. And really, a lot of us are actually very attached to our problems. They've become a huge part of our identity. And so kind of dig into that. Again, why? This is all about why. Like, why? Why do I hang on to this? Why do I keep this going? Why do I stay in this pattern? There must be somewhere that it's rewarding me. Maybe I like people feeling sorry for me. At least they're paying attention to me. I don't know. I'm just saying, dig into it. See, if we're going to succeed, we must identify and conquer the competing intentions that war against the fulfillment of our best intentions. Or if you want to say competing goals. You got to identify them and conquer them. And what the one of the assignments I'm going to give you today, make a list of your goals. And even you know, I'm going to urge you to pick maybe one this year, maximum of three. Don't pick more than three. Please, narrow it down. I've seen some of you put up like five. You need to pick one. Really, if you really want to succeed, I would just pick one. But I think you can pick one, two, or three. And then really write down, okay, so this is my goal. And then write down, what are all the competing goals or competing intentions? Why have I not done this so far? Why? So we've got two ways. Why is this so important to me? Why do I have to now do it and stop playing around? And then look at it. Why haven't I done this? What are some ways that not doing this has become part of my identity and become some kind of a reward for me? This is deep stuff, but I want you to dive in. The journey to living your best life begins with identifying what the competing intentions are. And so we're going to focus on that for several days. Again, create the two columns. What's your stated goal? What's your competing goal? And then there's the big one. How could you neutralize that competing goal? What are some ways to neutralize it? And, you know, prayer, time in God's presence is always the best one. It's like my default answer. You'll find out. Like pretty much my answer to every question is time in His presence. Time in His presence. That's pretty much the answer to everything. That's a huge way. Because a lot of the competing goals are driven by our hurts and insecurities and all that other jazz. And time in God's presence. And sometimes, you know, knowledge is power. Just understanding. Oh, so that's the game. That's the game I've been playing. Well, I'm better than that. God wants more for me than that. And that can be powerful. Sometimes just seeing it in writing, like, oh, okay. I'm doing that because I think escaping is great. Hey, here's an idea. How about if I just proactively just live out loud? Just really live. Then I wouldn't need to escape anymore. So that's kind of your assignment this week. Your life is worth the time and effort to create your vision and your plan. And we're going to do that together. Really cool to see in the poll that most of you said, you know, my goal, these first 21 days, and I like this. I do. You're like, I need to get a plan and rock solid for the year. Take these first 21 days, you know, give God the first fruits of my year, spend time in his presence, time in his word. We're going to be digging into Nehemiah. And if you've looked at the workbook, we get a little bit of Jonah, we get a little bit of Job. I've just finished reading the book of Job and had a lot of fun with it. And God gave me a lot, and I'll be probably sharing some of that. But you know, I kind of like that. These first 21 days, I'm going to get a plan, rock solid. I'm going to commit to the plan, and that's going to give me a great year. I like that. And I think if that's all you do, I think it's wonderful. But honestly, I think if you could pick some tiny aspect, make achievable goals. I shared this with one of my other classes this week, the Take Your Message class. I said, you know, make it so doable that you can't not do it. Make your milestones so achievable that you can't not achieve them. And begin to experience that momentum. I think that if you, once you got your plan and your vision, if you could pick something, even, very, very doable, and get it done within this 21 days, I think that sense of success and accomplishment would really propel you forward in a powerful way. Even more than having a plan, because a plan and a vision is vital and we're going to do that. But the actual momentum of getting something done is really super powerful. And I want to let you know, someone had asked about this. You're like, Donna, you're on day 5 and saying 21 days. So I'm confused. Sometimes I miss things. But let me tell you this. This classroom will remain open for 30 extra days. So you actually, you know, if you guys really love each other and bond and want to spur one another on, you actually kind of have 51 days. I will exit the classroom for the most part, you know, day 22. I'm going to be in there because I'm done teaching. I'm done being with you. But for another 30 days, you can kind of be in there wrapping up, spurring one another on. And then at the end of that 30 days, we close the classroom to new discussion. You can still review the old post. You can still add comments to old post, but there's no new post going up after that 30 days. And then after about a year, we start shutting them down, you know, shut down the Facebook groups because, you know, I had like a million Facebook groups and it just became unmanageable and unwieldy. So anyway, I want you to play the perfect game. I want you to play the perfect game. Are you ready? During these, I'm serious. And I want to hear from you. I want you to come on the Facebook group and say, I'm in. I'm going to play the game. Here's how you play the perfect game. During these 21 days, no matter what happens, declare it perfect. I don't care if your car breaks down. I don't care if you just about die of a, you know, liver and kidney infection. I don't care what happens. Declare it perfect. Say, you know what? This is absolutely perfect. This is the perfect thing. This is the perfect thing that could have happened right now. Because it's either something wonderful or it's an opportunity for God to perfect your character, right? So either way, it's perfect. It's either perfect because it's wonderful or it's perfect because it's going to perfect your character. And I've been praying for you. The easiest thing in the world would have been for me, you know, delirious, bedridden, hospitalized, dying in agony, to say, you know, I'm not going to do this class. This is crazy. But I knew we needed to do it. And we needed to do it for somebody. Maybe more than one somebody. So we're here for you. And this will be so powerful. We're talking about retraining your brain. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. This perfect game is retrain your brain 101. Whatever happens. You know, God gave me a word when we were in Fiji this year. Apostle Donald Lee prayed over me. He's like, God says, you know, you're a star, you're a star, you're a star, you're a star. And I'm like, oh, I'm a star. Woo, am I going to have a TV show? Woo, I'm a star. And God's like, do you know how you become a star? You know what stars are supposed to do? I'm like, wow, I don't know. Do I get a New York Times best-selling book? Guy, this is great. You guys know where these things go with me and God, right? Always. He's like, you might want to read the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. Do everything without arguing and complaining so that you shine like stars in the universe. I'm like, oh, that's what you meant. I thought I was going to have a TV show. No. Mm-mm. No, Donna. No TV show. Just play the perfect game. Try this for 21 days. Just declare it perfect. No grumbling, no complaining, no second guessing, no wondering, why did God let that happen? And why did God let, and why did he look at me like this? And why did she look at me like that? And why did he say that? And why did they do this? And why did, no, wrong. 21 days, no matter what happens. It's perfect. You know, it's absolutely perfect. My car broke down. This is so perfect. Half the church walked out. This is just perfect. My husband says he's leaving. You know, this is perfect. This is just perfect. I found out my kids are doing drugs. This is perfect. This is just perfect. Because it's either something wonderful or God is trying to perfect your character. And I'll tell you one thing. And I just had this conversation with Deanna Allen the other day. There's a problem in the church and in society that people just don't want to know the truth about what's really going on. And really, the truth about your life is true whether or not you're dealing with it. And if you're not dealing with it, it's dealing with you, right? Like if your kids are on drugs, your kids are on drugs, whether or not God showed, whether or not you see that. So if God shows you that, you're like, perfect. Now I know what I'm up against. If your husband says, I'm leaving. Perfect. Now you know what's going on. My husband's that unhappy. I had no clue. I never noticed. Now I know. Perfect. Great. Now I know what my actual goal for the year is to change myself and the way I'm showing up. Because it can't change him. Right? Is this making sense? This is how we retrain our brain. This simple little game. And I really, for real, want you to play this. I don't want this to be like, oh yeah, day one, Donna talked about the perfect game, but tell me something else because I didn't really like that. This is key. This is retrain your brain 101. God, I love you. I'm just warning you right now. Because I said this, and because I said at this challenge, and because you signed up, God will bring people and situations into your life during this class. He will. That are specifically designed to reveal deep-rooted issues that need to be resolved in order for you to live your best life now. We've been praying at WEU for probably at least 6 months. Lord, show me me. Lord, show me me. Lord, show me me. Show me those things in my character. Show me those habit patterns. Show me my ways of thinking that are not helpful. Show me what's awesome about me too. I don't want to make this all negative. Show me my gifts. Show me my potential. Show me the desires of my heart, my desires that are of the Father. Show me me. That doesn't have to necessarily be a bad thing. I want to be, got to be well balanced in everything. But God is going to show you. And even those things that need to change, he's not going to show you these things because he doesn't love you and he's mad at you. I hope everybody watches Seabiscuit. They loved him, but he needed to learn to run straight. He needed to learn to not try to kill everybody who got near him. There were some things that needed to change about the way Seabiscuit was showing up in the world. They loved him. They believed in him. They saw greatness and potential in him. It's the same with God. It's not like God is mad at you, and so he's going to show you these issues in your life so that you can realize God secretly hates you and is against you and doesn't love you. No, and you're a terrible person. No. As God is retraining you, retraining your brain, building your character, doing all these things, he's going to show you, hey, child, these are the things. See the situation over here? These are the things that we need to work on. Because listen, the whole key, write this down. It's not on the slide. Doing plus being equals having. In fact, let me try. I'm making this up on the fly. But being plus doing equals having. Being plus doing equals having. Because we want to have this. Oh, I want to have lost 60 pounds. I want to have started my new business. I wanted to have stepped out in ministry. I wanted to have restored my marriage. Whatever your goals are. I wanted to have gotten on fire with God. How do you have? You have by being and doing. Fundamentally, it's an inside job. It's an inside job. saying, when you change who you be and you change what you do, you will change what you have, right? So God, in order for you to fulfill those resolutions, in order for you to do what you feel led to do so that you can have what you want to have in your life, the big key is changing who you be. It's who you be. And first you need to see who you are right now. The good, the bad, the ugly, the blessed and the mess. And it's all from a God who loves you. God had to show Joseph some stuff. Pride, bragging, about his dreams. Yeah, God had to humble him. So anyway, I hope this is really helpful. So God's going to be bringing people in situations that are going to reveal, oh, okay, so that's what needs to change in order for me to become the person that I would need to be, who can do the things I need to do to have the life that Jesus died to give me, to have fulfilled my destiny, to have come to the end of this year being like, wow, I cannot believe it. I'm not just another person who thumbs up and shared Lucy saying, this is my great year ever. No, I'm one who actually stepped into my destiny and made amazing forward progress. That's what I want for you. And step one, we're on step one in the 7-step process, clarify your vision. So do this for real. For real. Take a pen and paper and write the sentence. You have it in your workbook. I see a person who, and describe the ultimate you in vivid detail and cover every area of your life, each time beginning anew with the words, I see a person who. This is really powerful. Who is it you need to be? Financially. These are mine, and I want you to do it. And I want you to come on the Facebook group and share it with us. I see a person who, for me, I put, is financially free through multiple streams of internet income, able to travel the world in service to God and humanity. I mean, last year I was able to live overseas for 6 months because of my online university. Physically, how do you see yourself physically? Especially those of you who need to lose weight, get in shape, see yourself. Get a vision. I see a person who stays physically fit by eating God's foods and exercising daily, who takes on new adventures and tough challenges like climbing mountains to stay vibrant throughout her lifetime. What do you see? No, really, close your eyes. What do you see? And then write the vision and make it plain and come to the Facebook group and tell us about it. And I'm going to learn how to let you talk on these calls. Not today, I'm not going to figure it out, but believe me, by the end of the 21 days, I'm going to figure out how to be able to get you guys to talk, okay, because I know there's a way to do it. And, you fill in your workbook with all of those. I really want you to do this. And then step two is your plan based on your predetermined priorities. Look at the glitchy thing over here. I really want you to do this, and you've probably experienced this before, but it's powerful. It's really powerful. And I want you to kind of envision your perfect day, your ultimate day. And I encourage you to do it with a pen and paper, not on your keyboard, because it's research has shown it activates more brain activity, pen and paper. Get to a quiet place. Really seriously do this today. Walk through every detail of your day. And I did this and I recorded it. That's the next step. You got to record it as a voice note. If you don't have a voice note on your phone, you can go on your computer and type in Audacity free audio software. It's free. I'm using it right now. I'm recording this on Audacity right now. And then you can export it as an MP3 and listen to it over and over again. But that's the key, is to listen, to retrain your brain. Retrain your brain. I recorded my ultimate day and I didn't walk away from it. I drew a picture of it. I'd encourage you to draw a picture of that vision of the ultimate you. I've shared this, those of you who've been in my classes. God gave me a vision of the ultimate me. This is going back to the prior number one. And I had a picture. I drew all the continents And I was on a cruise ship. It's all stick figures. I was on a cruise ship standing at the front. And I had the Word of God in one hand, the fire of God in another. I had a tiara on my head and a Coach purse over my arm. I don't know why, but anyway. So, and I was going to the nations. So I drew that and made it visual. But for the ultimate day, I recorded that as a voice note. And then what I did is what separates the men from the boys. I listened to it every day. Every day, I get up and took a walk around my neighborhood and listened to the voice note. Why? Retraining my brain. And I share that with you in, you know, let's just take a minute. Because I'm afraid you're not going to do it. First thing in the morning, what time do you wake up? Look around. What does your bedroom look like? Who's there with you? Are you alone? Or are you with your spouse? Get up. Go through the house. How do things look? This is your perfect life. Your ultimate, perfect life. How do things look? Go into the kitchen. How does that look? What do you have for breakfast? How do you feel? How do you feel waking up and getting up and facing the day? You didn't hit the snooze button, right? But I'm projecting. You decide. Where do you live? Look out the window. What do you see? Ocean, mountain, city? Where are you living? What country? What do you see? What do you do next? You go outside. Are you going to exercise? What kind of exercise? Where do you go? What do you do? What do you look like? How do you feel? Do you go to work? Do you go to ministry? What do you do? What does it look like? Who do you see? Who are you with? How do you feel? Where's God? Lunch, what do? You have lunch by yourself? Do you go to a cafe? Do you meet friends? Lunch at home? Making sandwiches for the kids? What are you doing? What are you saying? How does it feel? How does everybody around you? What's the expression on their faces? What's the mood? What's the atmosphere while you're having lunch? And then the afternoon. What does your afternoon look like? Dinner. What is dinner? Is the TV on? I don't know. Your ultimate day. Is everybody just looking at their iPhones? Seriously. What is dinner like? Is there worship music on in the background? Has something been cooking in the crock pot all day? Maybe somebody cooked it for you. If you're out to dinner, I don't know. What is your ideal dinner? What are you eating? Is it pizza and soda? What's your ultimate dinner? And then the evening. Describe the evening. What's that like? Maybe by a fireplace, or I don't know what you're doing. Playing games with the kids. Maybe biking through the neighborhood. Now you come to the end of the day. You're getting ready to put your head on the pillow. How did it feel to live your ultimate day, your perfect day? How do you feel? How do you feel? Now, why do you need to live that? Why do you need to live that way? Why? Why would it be so important for you to actually live that day, every day? What would it feel like? What difference would it make in the world? What kind of a contribution could you make to your family and friends and the world around you, to the kingdom of God, if you really live that way? I really want you to write it out. I want you to record it as a voice note. And same thing, take a look, break it down and say, you know, how am I really living now? And how can I just begin to do, what are these things that I pictured of my ultimate day, can I really do? Like if you looked out your window and you're overlooking the ocean and right now you live in North Dakota, there's nothing you could do about that, right? But if you woke up at 6 a.m. and right now you're rolling out at 11, you could change that. If you envisioned a healthy meal and right now you usually just do a TV dinner, you could change that. Begin bit by bit right now, not tomorrow, like now. What are some elements of that that you could begin making true? And my opening thing was, I woke up in the morning to watch the sunrise on the deck overlooking, on my deck overlooking the ocean. And I recorded that maybe 2-3 years ago. And I ended up, I've listened to that every day. I ended up living on the ocean in Fiji for 3 months. And they eventually gave me, towards the end of my stay, they gave me the premier, most expensive beret and the entire property because I was going to write my book. It was the only place where you see both the sunrise and the sunset. And my front deck had a ladder that went down into the pristine ocean. When I recorded that voice note, I never dreamed, would not have dared to dream, when I said I wanted to wake up, watch the sunrise from the deck over my deck overlooking the ocean. I never, ever would have dreamed that God meant a tropical paradise. I'm thinking maybe Florida, California. And by the way, when I first had this vision, I was living in the desert in Arizona where I lived for 23 years. Just saying. This stuff is more powerful. Retraining your brain. Because then your brain begins to watch for opportunities. Your reticular activator. And I need to wrap up. I really need to wrap up. And I didn't do something I really wanted to do. Eesh, Donna, Donna. Your reticular activator is that part of your brain that prevents you from going insane. Your brain cannot process all of the stimuli around it. And so it looks for what you tell it to look for. Your brain looks for what you tell it for. You become pregnant and you're like, oh, I wonder if anyone else is pregnant. And you begin noticing all the other pregnant ladies. You buy a Honda Civic and all of a sudden all you see is Honda Civics. That's because you've told your brain, a Honda Civic is really important. Being pregnant is really important. And you suddenly start noticing it. That's what the reticular activator is. It's that part of your brain that notices what you tell it to notice. If you, whatever you notice right now about life, you're not noticing it because it's the most important thing about life. You're noticing it because that's what you told your brain to notice. It's that simple. If you notice all the people who are nice and smiling, that's because you told your brain, you know what, brain, do me a favor, show me all the nice smiling people. If you notice each day all the things that you're doing right and how the day went perfectly, all the perfect things that happened, it's because you told your brain, hey, brain, do me a favor, point out to me everything that's perfect today. And point out to me why even hard things are actually perfect because God's perfecting my character. If you notice people hurting your feelings and being rude to you, do you want to know why that is? Because you've told your brain, hey, brain, do me a big fat favor, would you? Let me know if anybody like even looks at me sideways or has a tone with me because that's really important. I want to be on high alert about that. Here's one. If all you notice is your favorite foods, wherever you go, you notice, oh, there's Krispy Kreme over there and there's Pizza Hut and there's Starbucks. And it's because you've told your brain, hey, brain, do me a favor, would you? Whenever we see junk food, whenever you see food that has a lot of fat and sugar in it, make sure you bring it to my attention. Because I promise you, you're driving past just as many sushi places and, you know, healthy, although there's a lot of fast food. I'll give you that one. But you could notice other things. You could notice every church instead of all the fast food joints. How about that? Why don't you tell your brain, say, you know, brain, do me a favor. I don't need to see all my favorite junk food places. Don't even show me those. Do me a favor. Would you show me every church and every school and every government building and every fire? Because I want to pray. That's what I want to do. When I'm driving around town, I want to focus on all the things that need prayer. So don't waste my time showing me food. I'm not really interested. I have healthy food at home in the refrigerator. So don't show me those. Show me all the school buildings. Show me all the things that I need to be praying for. God commands me to pray for those in authority. So just show me that instead. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is how we retrain our brain. I hope this is helping. I didn't get to one of the big things I wanted to do. I wanted to give you a tour of the website, and I'm going to do that tomorrow because we're out of time. Let me see if there's anything else I want to. Yeah, please join the Facebook group. Please. I really wish you would. You don't have to. I love you the same if you don't. I was going to give you a tour of the Facebook and a tour of the website, but we're really out of time. And I'm not going to be able to do that today. Let me see if I can see if you have any questions or comments or reactions to what you just heard, and I'll share those with the group. I'd love to hear your reactions. Go ahead and, you know, anything I just shared that you want to respond to, and I can share that with everybody. Valerie says, I was up until 4 a.m. reading Nehemiah. You go, girl. Liz said, I did this and immediately saw I am making efforts in a direction that doesn't support my vision, mostly for income. This is good. Tina says, I love the coach purse. That's really good, Tina. I never saw it. I was like, I had never bought a coach purse in my life, never even thought about having a coach purse. What an interesting insight. I've shared the story, never thought of it. Tina Croft says, who is the coach? Who coaches? Very good. Coach, get it. I never got it until you said it. That's why it wasn't any other purse, because I'm supposed to coach. Okay, good. That's cute. Lisa, I was up at 4:15 today, my new normal. So much already accomplished. Loving the visioning process. Deborah says, this has been great. Thank you for your time and energy. Shannon says, thank you, Donna. Melissa, it's so funny to me how your life mimics mine. Yeah, you know why, Melissa? Because we're all the same. And I'm just honest. It would take too much time and energy to try to pretend to be someone I'm not. So I'm just me. And some people love it. Some people don't like it at all. We lose people. Jessie said the same thing. She got it too. You're the coach. Can you believe I didn't see that? I did it. The coach so fits you. Dottie, everybody got it but me. Somebody says, I thought it started at 11. Can I review it again? Victoria, I pray that one of the recordings worked. I did two different recordings. I pray they work. Valerie, thank you, Donna. This has been great. Very inspiring. Are the slides from today printed in our workbook? The slides, I can post them up. Well, you'll have the replay. I can post the slides as a PDF. But yeah, basically what I shared is your workbook. That's all. I just turned them into slides. But yeah, I'll post all this jazz. Thank you, Donna. This was great. Going to listen to it again. That's from Christine. Denise, want to be a star? Learn to shine in the darkness. That was awesome, Donna. Yeah, that was God saying, like, no, Donna, no TV show. Just do everything without arguing, complaining. Could we start with that? That would be a great way to get started. Stephanie says, so many confirmations and clarifications. Thank you for your honesty and integrity, Deborah. It's hard to think of being challenged and facing the truth, but understanding it works for our good. Deborah, if you would be willing to just pray that prayer, Lord, show me, and then believe the next thing he shows you. I'm going to be really transparent. Really transparent, okay? Because I'm really hard on Donna. I mean, now, and I've had a lot of help. I mean, I've had a lot of people in my life who are really, really pretty hard on me. It ain't good. Blah, blah, blah. So I said, Lord, show me, Lord, show me, Lord, show me. And I was praying it, and all the students were praying it. And God said, I want you to survey your list. And I want you to ask everybody on your mailing list, you know, how they see you. And I was blown away by the responses. It was so beautiful. So maybe when you pray, Lord, show me, God will show you something really beautiful. Really beautiful. Because some of us are just way too hard on ourselves. I had a pastor, I don't know if he signed up, but he was on the webinar, and God told him, you know, you need a new pair of glasses because you're not seeing your ministry the way I'm seeing it. And God wanted to show him, hey, you know what, son, I see you're really faithful. I see really good things, and all you're seeing is where you're falling short and where you're going wrong. So, you know, it could be one or the other. So it depends on who you are. Some of us are like just totally in denial, and, you know, we're shipwrecking our lives. We're driving everybody around us crazy, and we don't see it at all. And so we need to say, Lord, show me, and he'll show us some things that we need to change. But there are others of us who are just so hard on ourselves, so hypercritical. And when we pray, Lord, show me, the Lord might just start showing you, you know, some people really love you, and I really love you, and here are the things you're doing right, so pay attention to those. And for probably most of us, it'll be a combination. Probably be a combination. So don't fear this. God, again, God is for you, right? I mean, God loves you. He is for you. More than you want to fulfill your destiny, God wants you to fulfill your destiny. And in order for you to fulfill your destiny, you've got to see you need to see yourself accurately. Humility is seeing yourself accurately. That's all. Humility is an accurate assessment of yourself. And that's what God wants to give you. And he'll give it to you. Definitely at WU, he'll give it to you. I've learned at coaching people, the vast majority of people don't want to know the truth. Probably 99% don't want to know the truth. They'd rather just keep going around the same dumb mountain, because they're attached to it. They're like, oh, wow, I'm going around the same dumb mountain again, everybody. Here I am. I'm going around the same dumb mountain again, everybody. And I can't figure out why, but don't tell me why. You know, everybody in your life could tell you the answer to why you keep going around that same dumb mountain. But most people don't want to hear it. They'd rather just, me personally, I'd rather just, even though it hurts, it's like, some of the things. I mean, some of the things are, oh, Lord, thank you so much for showing me that. Thank you. You see my heart. You know, I did this whole thing. The Lord, he knows. I think it's Jeremiah 22, 20. No, it's Joshua 22 something. The Lord, he knows. Like, even when I botch it and I don't do the right thing, you know, my heart's in the right place. He sees that too. So anyway, I'm getting ahead. Meredith, the perfect day. I totally get that now. I have one person in my life that constantly attacks me. I just recently heard from God that how can I go greater if I can't even handle one attacker? Yeah, that's good. I like, good job. A plus. That's from Meredith. A plus. Yeah. Oh, I want to be Joyce Meyer. Really? You freak out over one little person in your life who's attacking you? You want to be at that level of prominence? You know the size of the demons and your entire websites just devoted to hating on her? Yeah, good job. A plus. Cindy says, so great. You are my coach. First thing, I will get up earlier. Okay. Melissa, knowing what you have lived and done and are doing shows me that God can do more through my life too. Yeah, there's the idea. Kelly says, this spark triggers in my brain and helped me realize why repetitive actions were happening over and over. Good girl, you are on the mission. Yeah. Because until you look at it and figure it out and get to the why, you'll just keep doing it. Jesse, two goals is so much better than five. Yes, songwriting, but needs to be more specific. Teach my kids a verse a week and read the kids the Bible every day. Yeah, good. I like two goals. One, two, or three. Nobody should have more than one, two, or three. Seriously. And don't break them up into 100 sub-goals either. Francis says, that was great. Already helping me to think differently. Help me to see that I can have good things. Yes, you can. Thank you for going to the Facebook now. Later I will be in on your weight loss webinar. Yeah, I got to go. I've got to teach a webinar in like an hour. Thank you, Donna, for doing this. Lord, show me and declaring everything perfect. Frida, love today's session. Show me. Wow, too scary. Yeah, but you know what? God's so loving. So probably every time he shows you something you don't want to see, you know, on the bad, he'll show you something good too. That's what he did for me. Jesse, find the pretty in ourselves and the world around us. Frida says, I'm critical. So help me to show what God, yeah. Frida, if you tend to be critical, God probably wants you to see some of the good things. I think, Jesse, you need to just be obedient to what God gives you. She's trying, well, do I only have to write Christian songs? No, get whatever God gives you. Sierra, I felt his presence beside me as I began envisioning my best day. While you shared about Fiji. I like it, Robin. Brings me back to the study. God reminds me of wilderness mentalities. Yeah, and that caused me to keep going around the same dumb mountain. Yeah. Okay, well, that's the final comment. Everybody say a prayer that this recording really worked. Lots of people were here today. I hope lots of people are here on day 21. That's the key. Be at the finish line. I love you. And I didn't pray. Oh, Donna. Ah, bad Donna word. Okay. God, we love you so much. We love you so much. I can't believe I forgot to open in prayer. I get so bogged down in recordings and PowerPoints and keynotes. And Lord, we need time and we need your presence. The number one thing we need is your presence. So I pray even now that you would reach out across the electronic devices with just a touch of your presence right now. Just a touch of your glorious presence, because that's all that we need. It's all we need. It's all that we need. Back to basics. Time in your presence. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're going to do. Amen. Amen. Peace out, people.